I just see you guys as supercharged releasers this morning, okay? You know when they turn that machine on, you hear that sound? It goes, right? So it's like you can just energy building up. And then what's the doctor say? Clear. Everybody like, get clear. Everybody clear. Because they're like, whop, boom, release it. Releasing it. And so this morning, I just, there's a couple people, and I just want to put names out there in the atmosphere, okay? One, I want to continue to contend for Ezzy.
Right.
Can you just see you releasing this energy into Ezzy's body, and it resets the crippling activity of stroke in his life? Joyce Armstrong, we were just here on the patio this morning about she's got stage 3 cancer and went through a pretty big surgery.
12 hours
to remove disease. And the what's the world say? What's normal? What's the world say about that? You're ready.
Yeah.
This is it, right? Dark.
Well, just a testimony about Joyce.
Go ahead.
You went and prayed for her.
Yes. I heard about it last.
This was after her surgery? No, before.
Before her surgery, I just happened to be at the hardware store, ran into Daryl Silverberg, and we're talking, and he says, oh, did you know that Joyce is going in for surgery? They say she has cancer. And I said, no. I did, and this was like on a Saturday.
Right.
And she was supposed to go in on Monday, this past Monday. And so I went and found her before she went and prayed for her. And so anyway, so the report I got back, it was a 12-hour surgery. And then so I got another report on Wednesday, she's doing okay. She's sitting up, sent me a picture, she's smiling.
Okay.
And then the last one I got was Thursday. She's up and walking around. She's able to do her bodily functions. And there's no cancer markers.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's a great report.
I would like you to just, if you would, in your mind, can you have this energy inside of you? You've got heaven's power inside of you. The word about it, the word in the scripture is dunamis, right? It's the same root word we get dynamite from, right? It's a high explosive energy power, right? You have this releasing energy of heaven that brings healing and wholeness to people. So I would like you in your mind to just consider,
right,
who is the person in your family? Who's the person in your life? Who's the friend? What's the situation that needs heaven's rhythm on it? What is it? Is it financial? Is it emotional? Like heart healing? Is it physical healing? Can you just, just right now, Holy Spirit, just give that person in your mind and your heart, just that he brings that situation to you right now. Now I want you to kind of see yourself plugging into heaven, right? Can you just see an extension cord even, or an umbilical cord? See yourself plugging into this generator, this powerhouse of heaven, right? So we just, in our spirits, then Darla opened up worship this morning. She said, prepare yourself to receive,
right?
So we just see yourself receiving energy. We see yourself receiving fullness. We see you. It's that machine in the office that gets turned on and you hear it go, ooh, right? It's building up. Now I want you to, in the spirit, I just want you to take your hands and I want you to put them on that person. Put them on that situation.
Can we pause there for a second?
Go.
Turn your hands over.
Go ahead.
Turn your hands over. Close your eyes.
Okay.
So, Father, right now, Father, I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, just begin to just release.
Come on.
Your healing power and presence right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you start sensing something, can you just like raise your hand? Holy Spirit. So, Father, bless it right now. Bless it right now. What you're doing, just bless it right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just say more. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just ask for more. If you're sensing like a heaviness, peace, tingling, warmth in your hands, raise your hand. Father, we just say more right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just continue to bless right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just ask for more, Lord. More. More. Anybody else sensing anything? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just bless, Lord. We just say more. More. Fill.
Right.
Fill. Fill. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for more.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, right now, we just thank you, Lord, for your promises. And so, Father, you know, you see our hearts, you know our hearts. And so, Father, we just ask right now that you would just continue to just fill, pour out more, Lord. Pour out more. Let the glory of your presence just begin to radiate the frequency of heaven. Father, just begin to radiate in our hearts. Thank you, Father. We just thank you for that right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nothing is impossible. I command any hindrances, obstacles right now to get out. Thank you, Lord. And then, Father, you would just continue to just pour out right now.
Thanks,
God. So everybody just stay in a place of just receiving right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, who's getting a really strong sense of God's presence? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. More. More, 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 more. Thank you, Lord. So now you can get into that place of whoever you have in your mind or your heart to pray for and just release,
right.
Release that.
Right. So good.
When I was praying for Joyce the other night, I was just in that quiet place in my imagination. As I'm praying for her, I saw like this light shooting out of my eyes into her midsection. And that was before we got the really good report about her being able to go to the bathroom and all that kind of stuff. So you just don't know. I mean, there's nothing that's impossible. God uses our imagination to step into that heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm.
So just flow with it. Whatever God's doing there, whatever He's showing you, keep flowing into it. Anybody have any visions?
Mine was more of, you know, you've seen like on movies where you like have like pixie dust or fairy dust and they blow it into someone's face and they breathe it in and have these powers. That's kind of what it felt like. It was this heavy dust substance.
That's amazing.
And I got to like blow it into their face and they breathed in God's healing.
Oh, that's so good.
Awesome.
I was praying for many people, especially my oldest daughter. She's in Phoenix. And it felt like a rainbow came out of my hand and over to Phoenix.
That's awesome.
And Willie, what did you feel?
Heavy. Again.
Heavy?
Warmth.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so
heavy. Are you still feeling it? Are you still feeling it, the warmth?
No.
Okay.
I saw it disconnect, like unplugging, like I was praying for my, just breathing God's presence upon my daughter's mind, her heart, and I just saw things being unplugged from the trauma and the bad things, the things that are controlling her.
Danny, what you were sensing?
Yeah, it was warmth. in my hands.
So Lord, keep blessing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Mine was like a gentle breeze, a pleasant breeze.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I felt that before too.
I like what Graham Cook had to say about starting at peace. You know that video?
Uh-huh.
You know, for those seasons where things come to try to, trials happen and things. So that's why we need to take the time to do what we're doing right now. And the night that we were talking, remember,
mm-hmm.
the same thing happened to me. I was actually in a chair. In an easy chair, just kicking back, talking to Adolf, and then we did this, like kind of like a short sozo, kind of like a short one, and I felt tremendous warmth come over my body, and it was peace. Not to say already at peace, but I mean it was like a tremendous,
that's awesome.
Really warm. And then we were done. That was good. But I think it's good to do it.
That's
I'm probably
awesome.
Going to do it again. We're going to do it again, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so good. It's like right now.
I remember, this was a few years back, when we had a soaking time here.
Mm-hmm.
That was so awesome.
Mm.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing angels that night. Each one of you guys had angels, and I remember God was giving me their names.
I remember that. That's right.
Yeah. Mm.
That's awesome.
Just that... the realization that you carry something.
I was gonna say that, like, I always used to have like this idea that it was an external source coming in that I was receiving from something outside, something
right.
given to me. But lately, like, it's been more of just seeing, like, realizing that it's always been in.
Right.
Like, it's never something I have to like reach out and grab. It's always something that I have to go inward. Because it's internal,
right?
It's inside out, not outside in. And so I was always chasing for a long time. I would chase the high, I guess.
Experience.
Like, oh, I have to go to Bethel, or
mm-hmm.
oh, I have to worship, or oh, I have to, like, always thinking it was external that I had to grab. But lately it's been more like I have to go in.
Right.
I have to go in because it's in here.
That's everything.
And it's always been in here.
Right.
Right.
And so, like, seeing instead of reaching out to grab something, seeing instead me going inside and seeing like almost like an overflow, like
mm-hmm.
filling up and then coming out rather than
that's that,
like, having to get something or something pouring in. It's
right.
like I'm already poured into.
Yeah.
Like there's just things inside I have to go in, and anything that is blocking that is things that God wants to talk about. Like he's like, let's talk about these things. Let's see what's going on in there.
That's
like,
so good.
Like, get rid of those or whatever. It's internal.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's those internal things that keep us from experiencing whatever it might be, whether it's a trauma or a stress or a bad experience or whatever. But once those things are dealt with, then it allows the rivers of living water to flow because they flow out of us. Yeah.
I think this connects, so I'll share it. Because sometimes it's like, it's not always just the praying for the guy with the limp, okay? So Thursday, I was out of town this week, and I get back late into the work day, and I'm going to a dinner to honor a man who's retired. And it's a large, he's one of the executives, and so it's a large gathering, you know, a couple hundred people. And as I pull up to the parking lot, I meet another, one of the leaders in the parking lot. He says, oh, you're sharing. And I said, yeah, right. You know, and because I thought he's just like poking me like, oh yeah, look who showed up, huh? And I said, no, not a chance. And he goes, really? And I said, nope. And I get in the room, and there's a guy I've known for years. He's an older gentleman. And he comes up to me, and he says, I understand you're sharing. And I'm one of the first ones there. And it's funny, the guy in the parking lot, I took as a joke. When he said it, I thought, oh, he's serious. And so I immediately said, okay, yeah.
That was a partition.
And right. So now I'm thinking, sharing what? Right? So now it's a dinner, and now you're, it's a couple hundred people, and I'd rather not be on the platform, by the way. And so I thought, okay, I can do this. I told Darla, yikes, I'm sharing. And so I'm asked in my heart, like, God, give me words, give me something here. And then they'd ask if I would share on a portion of this man's career, and if I, and the base had a gift for him, a couple of them, would I give on behalf of the command, mm-hmm. this gift to the man? I got up and began to share. And earlier in the week, I saw this man, and I said, he happened to come by my office, which isn't often. And he sat down, and there was just a moment right there. And I said, hey, I may not talk to you again. And I said, can I say something to you? And I wanted to say, this is, you know, without being gushy, this is what you mean to me. Mm-hmm. And this is how you impacted me. And this is what I appreciate about you. And if you're not used to hearing that, that's a hard thing to receive. And you can tell it was awkward, but at the same time, he appreciated it. And so we're in this, in the room, and you know, he's on the stage, they have a chair for him, and he's got a beer in his hand, and the admiral is there, and the admiral gets up and shares, you know, the career and the storied life of the man, and right, and all the polite and proper, and right, well done, and so there's a couple of those, and then they give me the microphone, and it's like, you know, I got to share this life about how much I, you know, our intersection over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then I said, hey, can I share with everybody else here what I shared in my office with you? And was able to say, this is what he means to me in front of everybody. Cool. And at the end, you know, we stand up and face each other, and he does this, puts his hand out, and I said, no. And I embraced him.
Good.
And I didn't think anything of it. And I realized after that moment, there were others that had got up and shared. Do you know that everyone after that,
hugged
what do you think they did?
Yeah.
They hugged him. And they hugged him. Everyone after that. It's like you broke something, right? Everybody goes in there with their proper, you know,
cool.
You know, kind of attitude. And it broke something. And I'm watching people, I'm thinking, that's not normal for you. But yet they did it.
Right.
I go to work Friday morning, and I go in, and then I'm in this room, and there's a couple of ladies from the front office, and they were talking about how enjoyable the evening was. And one of them, you know, they were saying, wow, you speak really well, you know, and I said, oh, thank you, you know. And then, what do you think the primary subject was when in the office that morning?
The hugs.
They said, and one of the guys who's like trying to be, you know, the locker room guy says, and then Danny hugs him. And he said it like that, but you know that everybody in the room went, it was impacting.
God, it was something.
Isn't that interesting? So I just want you to, as you think about who you are and what you bring to an environment, it's that. Right?
Right.
It's really that. I was, these past some odd weeks of, as we kind of like navigate this kingdom life and the teachings that Jesus is showing us, I think that maybe the way to say it is, you know, I told you Satan's got one game plan, which is separation, right?
Right.
To disconnect you from, to unplug you.
Yeah.
To remove the umbilical cord from your resource, from your power, to separate you. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know what he's really trying to do? He's trying to create a new normal for you. Your normal is in him.
Right.
What Lisi was talking about. Your normal is in, you're in him. I mean, it's like everything you need is it within you because of him. Because you're synced with him, your rhythms with him, you're aligned with him, everything's there. The enemy's game plan is to separate you from that, right? And Jesus came to say, no, this is how you were created. You were created as one, and you're in his image, right? That's your normal. So Satan's game plan is to lie to you, to deceive you, to accuse you. Anytime you start getting into the real normal, who you were really created to be, he accuses you and lies and says, no, you belong here. Right? It's to bring separation. That's all that sin is.
Right.
Is to get you to step away from that being in living in him. And what scripture makes it clear to you, all of us, is that whatever you've done in life that's kept you living separate, he says he's faithful to forgive all of that. Whatever the separation is, whatever the activity of that separation was, he's faithful and just to forgive all of that. And he reminds you that even though you're doing this a lot, you're separating out, pulling away a lot, he says, I have all the strength and the power to keep you living this way. Right? But he has, and that's why he says we can do all things through him. Mm-hmm. He strengthens us in all things. Right? That you're everything about of heaven's backing is that we would learn to walk totally just in him. And the activity of being a new creation that Paul describes it as, it's really the new creation is just a waking up to what's already been true. Right? So you're becoming aware, oh my gosh, that was abnormal. This is normal.
Danny.
Yeah.
What you did, it without you really knowing it, somehow you released healing into that man when you hugged him.
Absolutely.
I absolutely believe that.
You released healing, and not only that, but everybody else that hugged him afterwards, there was something that came from them that brought healing into his body.
I totally believe that. That's why I want to encourage you not to overthink sometimes the what would Jesus do part, or the I need to pray and see the man raised from the dead, or to see cancer. It's like those are real things that you would pray for the sick and you would pray for the miraculous. But don't underestimate the prompting of the Holy Spirit
right.
in your everyday activity of just a smile, a hug, a kind word, an encouraging statement, speaking into their destiny. Those are prophetic words when you're calling out who they are. And not letting people like sit in their muck
right.
and their discouragement or their, because sometimes all the people have ever heard has been difficult, hard, you're not good enough kinds of words. And your word is the one, it just kind of like puts them on a path towards healing and wholeness. So
I think love helps you to see people the way God sees them.
Mm-hmm.
And to just act out of that is really, it came to mind the whole thing with Don. He always says, you know, that I didn't see all the armor and the barbed wire and the machine guns and the moat and the alligators that he had wrapped around his heart. I never saw any of that. I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw who he was.
Right.
And none of that stuff was even in existence That didn't even exist.
I asked her, how did you get past all that? Those barriers. Just came into my heart and said, hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they disappeared.
Like when you met that guy, whatever barriers were there are now gone, yeah. And you also gave permission to everybody else. You really gave permission. Everybody else said, this is okay.
Do you know that
this is a good thing?
Even though they may be macho and they may have an ego or an image they project, that they're all created in His image.
Exactly.
That's why when they hear of Jesus's, of the love of the Father, when they hear of Jesus, there's something in their spirit that connects.
Yes.
Something buzzes, something wakes up, something stirs. And it's almost as if it's like, is it possible?
Yep.
Could this be true?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 100 years old.
Nope.
It's like you hear that sound and it heals. And so just wanted to, the enemy's trying to redefine normal. And so we know it. And this is the interesting part, I guess. Well, maybe it's a sad interesting. Mm-hmm. So we know it. We know what his tricks are, really. But yet we still fall prey to it. We still allow that abnormal to win sometimes.
Abnormal.
And I was just... yeah.
That's, again, what we...
So, I was thinking, I told Darla, I said, what are you going to talk on this morning? I said, about these stuff, you know, and because it's true. It's like, I was thinking, okay, I know what his game plan is. I know what he's trying to do. I know what's true about me. I know it is about living from within. And yet, this still happens. And it's interesting because... there's this verse in 1 Peter, it tells us that we need to prepare our minds for action.
Right.
Right? Here, I'll read it to you. Mm-hmm. It's 1 Peter 1:13. Okay? Hold on. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action.
That's so good.
Keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that word prepare your mind. First off, the word prepare literally means not to tolerate that what's not true. It means to gird up. It means to say, no, it's like if... It says, hey, here's all the things that are out there in front of you, but it's only these things. Those things are lies. This is what's true. So pick those up. Mm-hmm. Right? Pick those up. Those things are baggage. Those other things are baggage. Right? So this preparing your mind, prepare says, I'm only going to accept. I'm only going to consider. I'm only going to make a part of my thinking here these things that are true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is what heaven, this is what Father says about me. So just that. That's it, right? And what's interesting is it says prepare, right? So just forget those things, your mind for action. That thing for your mind for action, it really is a divine imagination. It's a supernatural understanding. It's the guy who sees cancer. When cancer is presented to him, he sees healing. Right? When heaven looks at cancer, what does heaven think? Does heaven think there's nothing I can do about it?
No.
Heaven says, this is the conclusion of that.
Right?
Right? So getting your mind for action says there's a divine imagination that we're supposed to live in.
Right.
And this is the possibility. This is the hope of heaven. This is what we see. So prepare says, I'm just going to ponder those things that are true. Mm-hmm. And what am I getting ready for? this divine imagination just to consider the impossible, just to consider heaven on earth, right? I only give myself, that's my normal. I was created to be a man who lives with heaven on earth, right?
That's it.
So I thought that's like, oh my gosh. So this thing about preparing is a intentional action. This is what Dee was talking about, this thought about understanding this power of your mind and realizing this renewing of your mind. It's like, look, I just need to be about considering this is what's true. This is what's true. This is what's true. That's why I love the declarations. This is what's true.
Right.
That's what every one of our worship songs this morning was. This is what's true. This is what's true. This is what's true. That was preparing. That's the activity of preparing. There's this king in 2 Chronicles we read about, Rehoboam. And he actually started off good, and he ended up bad. The word says evil, right? It's interesting. There's a verse in 2 Chronicles 12, 14. It says that the reason he failed, the reason he ended up living in evil and doing bad things is because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord.
Another good word for prepare.
Yeah.
Practice.
Oh.
say that part again.
All right, here, let me read it to you.
Yeah.
Second Chronicles, right? Because
preparation.
Second Chronicles, chapter 12. I'm just looking through my Bible app here. Verse 14. I'm in the NASB. I won't change the translation. He did evil because he didn't set his heart to seek the Lord.
Wow.
Right. What did he do? He tolerated abnormal.
Right.
That's what he did. He tolerate, it's like you were created to live in him, and he chose to live separate from, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, I want to say this. Okay.
He tolerated.
He didn't set his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't prepare him. God said, prepare. When he says prepare, he says, just live in this reality. That's what he's telling you. This is a result of living in that in kingdom reality. So, if sometimes when we read the Old Testament, we go, wow, God's pretty mean. Look, he didn't do this, therefore God crushed him. Right? We can read that way, can't we? Mm-hmm. Now, I would like to have just throw this out for consideration. Right? If you jump off the roof, you're going to hurt yourself, right?
Right.
Don't jump off the roof. So if you jump off the roof and you break your leg, did I do that to you?
No.
Right? There's a consequence to you choosing poorly. Right? There's a consequence to choosing poorly. I didn't do anything to you. You hurt yourself.
Right.
So, if you choose to live abnormal, if you choose to live, God says, live in this reality. Mm-hmm. Prepare your heart this way. Live in me. And we don't. And we say, you know, he was judged, he was cursed, he was. I would just like to suggest to you, there's a consequence of you choosing to live separated from him.
Right.
That it's not God saying, I'll get you, right? And we can teach, I'll teach on that, I guess. But so he's not cursing you.
Right.
He's not crushing you. Mm-hmm. He's not hurting you. He's not removing his love from you. Mm-hmm. You have lived disconnected from him. Right? And in the, there's a consequence, and that's what the Bible calls the consequence of sin. What did I say sin was?
Separation.
So in separation, we choose to consume and live in fear and doubt and rejection. All these, the maladies of living a life separate. And there's consequences to that, that hurt and crush and disable. And the list goes on, okay? Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Rehoboam, he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to live this way, right? So to prepare, girding up. I'm just going to, you know the, I think you said it last week about meditation. Do you know that the Hebrew word, there's a word for meditation, it's Haggah. And it literally, Haggah, and it means to like, to almost like literally mutter, where you would like speak it. This is what's true, 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 this is what's true. You're actually reciting in a very repetitive, out loud, releasing. No, you're just like, this is what's true, this is what's true, this is what's true. The act of meditation, and what are you doing? Preparing. You're actually telling your mind, no, these are the only things. In the New Testament, when it talks about the verse you read about, you know, ponder these things, consider these things, only dwell on these things, that's what we're doing, preparing our mind, right? So, oh dear. Okay. So, we'll get into some more. But, so, it's, Jesus is just coming to reveal to us, no, that we've been living not normal. We've been living outside of our normal, right? In fact, if you go, I want to start teaching out of the Old Testament because we get stuck in it sometimes. So I'll have to figure out what that looks like for all of us here. But it's there's a pattern in that you can see in Scripture. And sometimes we don't pay attention to it that much because we hear the stories, but we take them out of the context of what God's really showing us. So if you look at the Old Testament, what do you see? You open up Scripture in the very beginning, and we see Adam and Eve, right? So, very first thing that we understand in Adam and Eve is we see this, the basic nature of sin. Mm-hmm. Right? Separate. The basic nature. Mm-hmm. And right at the very onslaught, Genesis 3, 2 or 3, something like that. No. Katie's calling back in. Right? I'll let her do that because my iPad's taking over until she does that. There we go. So we see the basic nature of sin, which was the enemy comes. What's he going to confuse them on? That they were created to live in him. And he said, no. He lies to them and says, you can be strong on your own, right?
Right.
I'm synthesizing, but you get it? He says, no. You can be strong on your own. You don't have to find your power in him. You're powerful too. Mm-hmm. So the basic nature of sin immediately. You know, the sin wasn't you disobeyed God. The sin was you tolerated an untruth that says that you could do this. You could live separate. That's the sin. Right? So the next thing we see, basic nature of sin, separation. Then we see, oh, it permeates families. Because now we took that thing and we said, oh, well, this is normal now. Now we give it to our kids. So what's the next thing we see in Genesis? Cain and Abel, right? What happens with them? You see brothers warring against brothers.
Right.
Right? So you see murder tolerated, right? Because now we see that happens. Then you go and you go, well, what follows after that story of Cain and Abel? You realize that sin is pervasive. It,
culture.
It goes through culture. It impacts nations now.
Yeah.
Right? So now we saw this separation gets into my family. Now it gets into culture and nations. And now we're at the story of Noah. Right? God says, look what's happened. Right? This is when we tolerate abnormal. You weren't created this way. This is not how I... Right? So now we see this pervasive nature of sin. And then we go, what's after Noah? We go, oh, we can manage this. We can manage it. we can kind of like put some structure around it and control it, and eventually we end up, now we haven't even left the first few chapters of Genesis yet.
Right.
Now we're at Genesis up to like 11. Do you know the Tower of Babel? Mm-hmm. Story of Tower of Babel? Now you've got a community of people that are saying, we can manage this relationship with God. We're going to build structures and we're going to connect with him this way through high, big towers and stuff. And we're like, okay, that didn't work. Right? So now all of a sudden, you go, boy, this whole abnormal thing's everywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. What's the very next chapter after that? God says, okay, now I need to start. This thing is like, what a cancer. This is what's true. Genesis 12, Abraham. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? All that, the nature of separation. Mm-hmm. Genesis 12, Abraham, what's he going to teach us about? He's going to teach us about, we can say covenant, but really it's like you can count on God. You're taught to count on this absolute, dependable, faithful, right? He's there.
Right.
Right? So we learn, here's who he is. Right? Now, I've got this cancer of separation that's here, but here's who he is, and he's going to teach me through the revelation of covenant with Abraham and Isaac, right? And the birth of the nation of Israel, we see about this, wow, here's who he is. Right? In that story, the one person that we don't see rising powerfully, us. We know who he is. We don't know who we are. Right? So we're learning to wake up to, but who am I in this? I know who you are. You're dependable. Mm-hmm. Right? But that's why Jesus. So the Old Testament's teaching us this curse of sin, the separation, he's constant. He's this power source, but we still are living disabled. We're still, all we know is, how do I even come close to you? How do I connect with you? Right? Because that activity of being in him isn't a truth we have revelation of yet. Okay? Maybe I've said, I hope I didn't mistake some of that for you in your spirit. He'll hear me in Holy Spirit. Right? But Jesus came to say, no, this is who you are in relationship to him as Father. Right? So now we're waking up to this new mind, this new revelation. I was created to live, as Lisi said, in him, from within us, living as one, plugged into heaven, and I only move from this place, right? There you go. That's like the landscape of the Bible, right? All the activity of the Old Testament is leading us to Jesus, which is this revelation of the only way this could happen was for him to put on a human skin suit, come as man, and teach you as a man how to live before him, how to walk in oneness with him. So that wasn't this, but I wanted to just kind of, I'll just leave it at that, I think. Because the only answer is Jesus. We had to know who he was. We had to know who God was. We had to know who we are. We had to know how we connect. We're learning to live in a new normal. Holy Spirit's always revealing the new normal.
But we have to practice.
And the reason we do this activity of preparing our minds for action.
Right.
Right. And keeping sober in spirit has to do with staying in that place, staying in that rhythm. Right. And only and fixing our hope, right, is like only tolerating, like, living for that completed state, living in the hope of seeing him.
And it's a great awareness of your mind, because I was just having a picture, like, we leave this house and we go into our family or we go into our workplace. Mm-hmm. And often we'll live in reaction to what they are spinning in. instead of prepare. No, this is where I, and so I don't rise to the occasion with the argument or the contention or the doubt or the fear or the unbelief. Like, I'm not rising to that. I am expressing in the middle of that, this is what my mind has prepared. And that's the, you know, some of the action that we take of maintaining and releasing that environment over the spinning ones.
Yeah. We're waking up to this understanding of who he is. And by the way, that's the basis of worship.
Right.
Okay. And then we're growing in this revelation, this understanding of who I am, right? What's he say about me? What's my role? And life is, this journey we're on is, how do I live from that place now? So the issue of intimacy, hosting his presence, walking powerfully, you know, here you go.
And those are practices, Dan.
I know,
right.
I'm looking at the clock. How about one word, submission? I'll do one word, submission. Because in the Old Testament context, when it's just, I'm in charge, you do what I say, right? We tolerated that as submission, kind of like the boss and his employee, right? So, you know, the best way to understand submission, like even for husbands and wives, okay? So there's a Greek word that means submission. It's hupotasso, and it's a military word, right? So it's like, we're going to go take that hill, or we're going to go attack that target, right? So to do it, the commander is going to say, okay, I need a guy on that hill there. I need you two with your tools or your equipment over there. I need you next to me. I need, right? What are we doing? We're positioning our players on the battlefield.
Strategizing.
And we're strategizing, saying, here's how we're going to complete this mission. And it's going to be so explosive and so powerful that it's like you're guaranteed success, right? That's the understanding of the word submission. It's an arrangement or an order of saying we're going to achieve this activity. There's this powerful conclusion we're going to draw. We're going to live in this arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move. Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of being yoked.
So, and
yeah,
being.
And it's a yielding so that you can move together.
So, this thing about being yoked, it's not, we think about it sometimes as like a collar and a chain, like a dog on a leash. That's not yoked. You know what you're doing when you're being yoked? You're literally connecting yourself to a power source.
Right.
Right? When you yoke the oxen, what are you doing? You're leading into their, your, how do I harvest their power, transfer it to the plow? Right? I need their energy. I can't do this. So I yoke myself to the power source.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right? So submission is yoking yourself to the power source. Right?
In him we live and move and have our being.
Yes!
In him we're powerful. In him, we can do all things. In him. And that's what I was doing this week.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kept repeating that stuff over and over again to myself. In him, you know, I can do miracles. In him. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Whatever.
Right.
Just say, in him.
Yes.
You can do whatever.
So we're preparing our minds for action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what Peter says, prepare your minds for action. So we're just like, this is what's true. The divine imagination, the supernatural, is this, right? So the way to achieve that divine power is through this order, this proper alignment with him, right? That's what submission is. So I'll stop there.
In him.
Okay. Father, we say thanks. You're revealing to us how to live in right order with heaven. So we just agree our normal is you. We just say yes to your rhythm. We say yes to your frequencies. We say yes to your power.
Right.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.